I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the 45 Communist Goals for America. 45 Communist Goals for America. Now, you can find this information on a variety of websites. It's presented by a number of different sites. Renz.com has the Communist Takeover of America, 45 Declared Goals. The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website says 45 Communist Goals for America. You've got InfoWars, they've got this article, Read the Secret 45 Goals of Communism, leaked to Congress in 1963. That's the remarkable thing about it, that this was actually read into the Congressional Record. Belief.net. I was a little bit surprised to see it on that website. Normally, I've not found this kind of information there, but it is, again, it's part of the official Congressional Record, January 10th, 1963. And it says, current communist goals, extension of remarks of Honorable A.S. Herlong, Jr. of Florida in the House of Representatives, Thursday, January 10th, 1963. So this is an official record. Now, where this comes from is from the book by Cleon Skousen, The Naked Communist. The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. I've talked about this book on the program before, where he has a whole list there in his book of goals that the communists have for the United States of America. We're going to talk about that list on the program today. Now, remember, this was read into the Congressional Record back in 1963. 1963, brethren. And it's important that we recognize communism is, you know, when the Soviet Union fell, people said for a time, communism is dead because Soviet Russia went down. But very quickly, within a matter of years, researchers here, at least in the United States, probably in other parts of the world, recognized that, no, that's simply not the case. The Soviet Union fell. The thing is, the socialist communist countries, they don't last long. And the reason is because of what Margaret Thatcher said. The problem with socialism, she said, is that sooner or later, you run out of other people's money. You can only rob the rich for so long. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of their money, because communism is not really a system based on, it's not merit-based advancement, where people work, and based upon how much work they do and how much effort and ingenuity, they move forward, they prosper, etc. So in other words, it's not according to God's plan. It's a man-made plan of just seizing totalitarian power over a country. That's the problem with it. And so sooner or later, it's going to fail. It's like if your way of, let's say there's 10 banks in your country, and the way you're going to generate revenue is you're going to rob each one of the banks. Sooner or later, you will have robbed all 10 banks. And if that's your only way of generating money, you're going to run out of money sooner or later. So that's the problem with communism and socialism in any country. It's simply a matter of time before it fails. But the deception itself takes people in over and over and over again. And it's happened all over the world. I mean, it's a system of organized theft. That's what it is. It is a system of organized theft. And once you know the history behind it, for those who have heard our audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism, Weapon of the Counter-Reformation, communism and socialism and even social justice were all repackaged based upon the ideas of the Great Inquisition and the concept of justifiable theft as set forth by Thomas Aquinas and the Dominicans. And so coming up with reasons that it is justifiable to steal from people. And that's all communism does, is comes up with reasons and arguments and this kind of thing to justifiably steal from other people. And once you know the history, the fingerprints of the Jesuits are all over this thing, because they were known throughout the Counter-Reformation era, which continues to this day, but back when it was more well known, they were known for developing, through their methods of sophistry and casuistry, arguments to justify violating all of the Ten Commandments of God. And how could you come up with a way? I mean, this is what they got into, because they recognized they had to be able to bend the conscience of people that they wanted to manipulate and control. And so you've got to be able to go to work on their conscience and get them to do what you want them to do. All right, so here are the 45 goals. We're going to see how many of these we can get through. All right, number one, U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Coexistence. Now, if you read the book by John Stormer, None Dare Call It Treason, he talks about this doctrine. They use this theologically, and we know that because everybody's probably seen the banner that says coexistence, and it shows all the different symbols for the various world religions and this kind of thing. The one that's interesting, look up the banner that has Islam as part of the coexistence, and it looks like all of the other religions are cowering while Islam is planning to blow them up and destroy them all. Because at the ecumenical table, Islam is not there to get along. Islam is there to try and dominate and to forcibly subjugate everybody else. So that's an interesting element there. But nevertheless, coexistence. According to John Stormer, the communists sowed the idea of coexistence into our system through the schools and politically and so on, convincing American leaders that what they needed to do is find a way to coexist and get along with communism. In other words, don't try to destroy communism, because that won't work and it's not fair, supposedly. You need to find out how to get along with the communists. And so that was American foreign policy, where communism was concerned for years prior to Ronald Reagan. But at the same time, while America is trying to find ways to coexist with communism, the Soviet Union and the communists are trying to destroy America. They're not really trying to coexist. They're trying to overthrow our country. It's a way. It's like a boxing match where you tell your opponent that he's not supposed to punch you. But meanwhile, you're going to be throwing punches at him all day long. And if you read Stormer's book, None Dare Call It Treason, he basically says that people involved in our government back in the 1960s and 70s, they came to recognize this doctrine, this whole idea of coexistence. And they said, well, if we're trying to get along with the communists, and the communists are continually trying to destroy us, isn't it simply a matter of time before they win and we lose? That was what they recognized. Now, Ronald Reagan is said to have purchased that book, None Dare Call It Treason, by the case, and to give out copies to his friends. And this was apparently admitted. I learned this from Brannon House over at Worldview Weekend. And Brannon says that he heard this directly from John Stormer, because Reagan would buy the books from Stormer. Okay? And supposedly read passages of that book to members of his cabinet. So I believe what happened was Reagan figured out this coexistence lie. Because when he became president, he was no longer trying to coexist with the Soviet Union. His approach was, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. We win, they lose. We're a good country, we believe in what's right. We're not perfect, but we believe in doing what's right, and they're the evil empire. We're going to win, they're going to lose. And so from then on, all of Reagan's policies reflected that worldview. And it was simply a matter of time before the Soviet Union went down as a result. But the coexistence doctrine, I believe, is very important. We're dealing with it right now, brethren. We're being told by the Democrats, you have to coexist with socialists, communists in the country, in your schools, your colleges, your universities. You have to coexist with sodomites and gay marriage and transgenderism. And you have to coexist now with Muslims coming in and being sworn in on copies of the Quran, a book that says they have the right to enslave all of you. You have to coexist with them. You have to coexist with people who want to overturn the Second Amendment. You have to coexist with the abortionists and so on. You just have to get along with them and accept them that they just have their own view. You see what I'm saying? Meanwhile, these radical leftists are not trying to coexist with patriotic Americans, not at all. They're trying to overturn our entire system and destroy the freedom of our country. They're not trying to coexist. They're trying to take over. And so at some point, we need to recognize as a country, I believe, the wisdom of Ronald Reagan and how President Reagan dealt with this situation and recognize, no, we don't need to coexist with people who want to use our tax money to murder children in these abortion mills and use our tax money to find ways to bring in Sharia law and socialism and overturn our system. We don't need to coexist with these people. We need to go on the offensive and start passing laws to forbid them access to power. That's what I believe. All right, so we got through, well, we got through the first one. Now, how many shows is this going to, it's going to take us a few shows, isn't it? All right, so number two on the list of 45 goals, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. The whole anti-atom bomb movement with all of the warnings about, oh, we can't have atomic war and this kind of thing. Why? Because the other countries of the earth, the communist countries of the earth, were incredibly intimidated by the fact that the United States developed the atomic bomb and dropped it on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and caused such devastation. And they recognize the United States is the only country that has ever successfully dropped an atomic bomb in time of war. It's doubtful whether these other countries like North Korea that brag and boast about their atomic capabilities, they've never successfully dropped a bomb on anyone. There's even really kind of a funny t-shirt out there with President Trump on it, and it says, my button is bigger than your button, and it works, okay? And it's obviously a jab at Kim Jong-un and North Korea, because many people suspect that North Korea's nuclear program is not really formidable. Now, of course, as a country, we can't underestimate anyone who's making those kind of threats, but nevertheless. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue with our list of 45 communist goals. We'll see if we can move it along a bit further. When we come back, right after this.
Battling spies, assassins, and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the 45 communist goals for America, really to undermine and overthrow America. All right, so we went through number one and number two. Number three is develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. And I think that's all part of the anti-war movement, and I think also part of the anti-Second Amendment movement. Number four, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Now this, number four, is benefiting not only the communist countries of the world, but also the Islamic countries of the world. And Islam and communism are essentially two sides of the same coin. And they are both now, from the 1960s to the present day, both the Islamic countries and the communist countries benefit greatly because the United States has opened up free trade to them. Okay, free trade and financial aid and all the rest of it. Number five, extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. There was the Lend-Lease program that went on. Of course, that was prior to Skousen's book, but I've read for years, and you can research this, brethren. You'll find a lot of information. It has been said that the Soviet Union would never have been possible in terms of it becoming a superpower without the financial aid they received from the United States and Great Britain. Would not have been possible. Number six, provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. Well, it shouldn't be hard for anybody to recognize that that has certainly come about, not just financial aid for communist countries, but also for many other countries, many of them Muslim countries, as we talked about. Number seven, grant recognition of Red China. Admission of Red China to the UN. Well, that's already happened. Number eight, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. Number nine, prolong the conferences to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. Number 10, allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. All right, now number 11, I think, is very important. It says, quote, promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. That's the commentary as part of Skousen's list. But certainly, promoting the UN as the only hope for mankind. There is a United Nations military force. In fact, people have speculated for years about whether or not the globalists would try to use the UN to come into our country and confiscate guns from the American people. And certainly the drive for a one-world government. If you watch our film Megiddo, The March to Armageddon, Bible Prophecy, and The New World Order, we have a whole list of quotes from prominent and famous people throughout the 20th century talking about the need for a one-world government in association with the United Nations. All right, number 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party, which should have been done. I mean, communism right now, we've got people openly promoting socialism, openly flying communist flags in our streets here in America, all part of this radical leftist Antifa type movement. And they are now something that they would not have done, I think, 10 years ago. They're doing openly promoting communism in our country. And it should be banned. I don't think Bernie Sanders should be allowed by law to run for office as an out and proud socialist. Number 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. Of course, they don't want to have people taking an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution because the Constitution is contrary to the principles of communism and socialism. Number 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. Number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Number 15. Now, can there be any doubt that at this point, the Democratic Party is the National Socialist Party of America? Can anybody really doubt that? Not just with communist ideology, but with much of the socialist ideology of the Nazis during World War II. If you go examine the policies of the Democrats and you compare them with the policies of the Nazis in the 30s and 40s, they are nearly identical. There are some differences, but they're very, very similar. Number 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Well, we've seen that repeatedly. That is judicial activism. Judicial activism. And number 17, also very important, get control of the schools. Get control of the schools. That was number 17. Now, it's interesting. This was published and read into the congressional record in 1963, but I think there's no question that Marxists at work in our country were pursuing these goals long before 1963. We know the Rockefeller Foundation and the other tax-exempt foundations were working to get control and to subvert our education system back in the 1920s. That's documented. So, number 17, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in the textbooks. Well, that's already happened. That's what they're teaching right now. Number 18, gain control of all student newspapers. Number 19, use riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. That is what we see on our college campuses. That's what we see out in the streets. That's what Antifa is about. All of this is pure communism. Number 20, infiltrate the press. Does anybody have any doubt that the media, mainstream media in our country, has been infiltrated and is being manipulated by a Marxist element? Get control of book, review, assignments, editorial writing, policymaking decisions. Number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. All of this fits in, brethren. And there's, in fact, I was listening to somebody talking about, I'm trying to remember who it was, but somebody talking about discovering out in Hollywood that there were communists who were trying to get control of, I want to say, the actors' unions. I'm going to have to chase down this information. If one of you finds it out there, send me an email with a link at comments@adullamfilms.com and or through Noise of Thunder Radio and our website at noiseofthunderradio.com. You can send it to me there. But that communists were pursuing power in Hollywood, there's no question. There is documentation for this. I've just got to chase it down. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.